Hey, Amy Robeson here. Thank you for joining me on this podcast where we talk about spirituality, the awakening process, mental health, and so much more. Join me weekly to get your weekly dose of spirituality and medicine. I look forward to seeing you on the inside. Hey friends, how are you? I'm so excited for today's Soul Chat interview with Shannon, a dear friend of mine. She is the host of Sense of Soul podcast, which is an amazing podcast. If you haven't checked it out, definitely go check it out. And today we're diving into a topic that I love dearly, but we're taking a different approach with it. And that is ancestry. And looking at family trees and building family trees. And we've also dived deep into family secrets and why ancestors might want to have secrets kept away from the family for safety reasons. We dive into all sorts of different nuances and topics. And I'm so excited to share this Soul Chat interview. So let's jump in. Hello, everyone. I have a very special guest. I'm so excited to talk to Shanna today. How are you, my dear?
I am good. So nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too. So you and I met on your podcast, and I was guided at the end of your podcast to ask you how I could support you. And that's when you started sharing with me how you're really into ancestry. And I was like, yes, tell me more about this, because I love working with ancestors. I teach the Akashic Records. The ancestors are coming in at a rapid pace now because they want to help us. They want to support us. And then I also have another level for Sacred Awakening students that where we like only focus on ancestors. And when I met you, I just got done telling you how I was getting ready to go see my grandma and how she had tons and tons and tons of ancestral artifacts for us. And she wanted me to build our family tree. And you told me, I can build your family tree. And I was like, yes, I love that. And so tell everybody a little bit about like your ability to do that and why it's important. And then I'm going to share like a really cool thing that happened from you doing that with me.
Oh, that's awesome. There's always so many beautiful stories within ancestry. I love to hear them. And you learn so much about history.
Absolutely. It's incredible. And the things that you pulled from my ancestry, my mom and my grandma and I were all shocked by it. Like it was insane. And I know you and I were shocked by it too, as we were like looking at it.
Yeah, it's so fun. In fact, I've probably done like 200 trees or more. I lost count after 100, but I never thought that this would be something that I would be good at. And really, I don't think I ever would have been good at it unless I went through my own ancestral journey years ago, which actually lasted me like 6 years. I mean, I was really into it. I never thought it would end either. And what I discovered was when I did my little DNA test, when you spit in the tube and you send it off, was that I was nothing that I thought I was. And this happens to many people. I mean, we think that we're just German, but then you have to remember Germany at one point covered over places in Russia and, all over. And so, lots has changed on the map since, a lot of people originated from certain areas. My daughter just did hers recently. And even though she's very German, it goes right back to like Ukraine, which is, that's very similar. So, but I am originally from New Orleans, so I kind of knew that I would maybe have some surprises in my DNA test, which I did. I was always told I was French and Italian, and to come to find out, I don't think any Italian, and I was not nearly as much French as I thought I was. And there's also a lot of German in me. So I thought that was weird. Of course, my dad had German. I didn't know he had German. I thought he was pure Czechoslovakian. His family has only been here 3 generations. So a lot of his German is from Czechoslovakia. It's just, there's not a Czechoslovakian, you know, DNA. So I went down a very deep hole to try to figure out why there was this denial of cultures that was within me. So my dad had Jewish. I didn't know that was in me. My mom had this African-American roots that I had no idea. No one had. And so what I did was I built a tree and I use Ancestry. And I would say it's probably the most user-friendly. I've tried all of them and I've actually offered my DNA to many other service providers that do this, but Ancestry seems to be for myself the easiest one to work with. And I started to build my tree. And yeah, Ancestry.com. In fact, I definitely should be an affiliate of theirs because I'm always, you know, getting people to get their DNA done, especially when you end up not being able to build your tree. And when I got to my great grandmother, my tree just stopped. I mean, that's not very far, you know.
it's not far at all.
Grandparents, and I couldn't find her. And so I did some like Google searching, and I found her in a book. And this is crazy because the book was just released like 2 weeks prior. So like that synchronicity there. Yeah, it was. So I'm wondering, like, why is she in a book? So I emailed the author. And she calls me and she's like, you might want to sit down. I'm like, oh my God, like, what is going on here? She's like, you have a very historical family. You know, you are from the French Creoles. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I'm French and Italian. And little did I know, even they passed as not only white, but sometimes they passed as Italians too. And when I say pass, I mean literally. They were denying their culture, denying their heritage, the memories, the traditions, not just their skin color. Because once you could pass, you never went back. And you know what? Some higher authorities, usually in the parishes, would actually want you to pass because they didn't want any mixing. They didn't want any more mixing. And so they would. If you had a baptism certificate, they would make you a whole new birth certificate with a new race and send you on your way. So once I did find out who my grandma really was, I was able to track that she had at one point 3 different races on the census record.
Wow.
She went from M in the census record, which was mulatto, to N, which, you know what that stood for, mm-hmm. to white. Yeah.
And so I bet you she felt like she was doing something really good for her lineage. But at the time, it's for safety, like safety.
It was. And I think I had to get there, Amy, because at first I was mad.
I would be mad too. I can see, like, you go through different range of emotions. It's grief.
Right. And I felt like, it just felt yucky to me, you know, and because here's the other thing, you couldn't necessarily associate with what you were trying to run from as well. Mm-hmm. So no one ever knew that side of the family. They didn't even know of the last name. So, and I remember my mom even saying, we weren't allowed to hang out with them. We didn't know why. We just thought because they were a lower class of people.
Right.
You know, and so they don't, there's a separation that happens, and it's not necessarily based on, like, I think I'm better than you. It was based on fear. Like, we can't associate with you.
Fear, and it was based on safety. Just like for women too. You're based on it. You are fearful of speaking up. And that this is why it's so crucial and so important to do ancestry work, not only like discovering what your actual tree, your history, your family tree is, but to actually sit down and heal and clear the bloodlines. Because think about how much that has generation after generation after generation subconsciously been passed on, that you cannot be seen as you really are because you will be in danger.
Right. And it's, that separation that it causes.
Massive separation.
So what, you are so right. And that's, I think that I had no idea that that's where I was going, you know, at the beginning of this journey. Like, I didn't know that it was probably going to be one of the most healing things that I ever went through in my life. I had no idea. And, but that is exactly what ended up happening as I digged more to find out, you know, what would lead a person to deny, you know, who they were. And so when I learned about the French Creole women, I was shocked. First of all, they're like the most unknown part of American history, these people. You know, Louisiana covered over 20 states, even where I'm at right now in Colorado. And so this was all France. It was huge, you know, up and down the Mississippi. And, you know, I don't think people really understand, you know, the history of, like, for almost 200 years, this was France. It was bigger than France itself. And
to paint that picture, it's like mind blowing.
Right. I know. And French was their, not only their language, but Catholic, that was your religion. Every single lineage from Louisiana roots were all forced to be Catholic. I mean, I literally had an ancestor who was a witness on the first five boats, that when you got onto the boat, you were to be baptized if you weren't already. In the Black Code, it was one of the first rules for a slave to be baptized. The Cajuns who came down from Canada, first thing they had to do was go and be baptized. So while Louisiana was basically predominantly French and Catholic, you had the 13 colonies up there. You know, this, they came here and it was like the freedom of religion, right? They didn't have that in Louisiana. You were totally frowned upon if you were not. And so that really was like a huge understanding for me why my family's so deeply rooted Catholic.
Yeah.
I mean, I am a recovering Catholic now. And that's been a big part of my journey too, is kind of understanding all of these very deep beliefs, you know, that live in my DNA. They weren't just taught to me. I mean, they are living within me. So when I have gone through this journey and have picked up a Gnostic gospel, that is very foreign to me. Like, very, very foreign to me. The idea of a mother goddess, completely foreign. Even when I moved to Colorado, the idea of women working, owning businesses, all of that was very foreign to me. So, you know, this is a very deeply rooted ancestry that I have, that for generations, women were suppressed, period.
Right.
The French Creole women were not allowed to, you weren't allowed to marry outside of your race until the 1950s. So
that long ago, think about that. Like, that wasn't that long ago at all.
No. And
that's still impacting us.
Yeah. And you weren't going to marry anyone darker than you, because you probably had a white father if you have mixed race. So they actually would have debutante balls, and they would have all of the white eligible bachelors to come, and your father would make a deal with one of them, and he would create this little Creole cottage for you and maybe even have children, but they weren't going to be an heir to him, because he was going to go have a white heir with his wife, because he would be able to marry. And you would just be like his mistress. Literally, this is like for real. It's insane.
It's beyond insane. Like, and so to think that's, you know, we can't go like, why would they do that? It was back then, it was socially acceptable to do those things. is, you know, we evolve. And as we evolve, this is why the ancestors are coming through right now too. It's because they see from a different perspective through the spirit realm, like how those decisions, how that trauma, how those belief systems, how those habits impact us now in this century. And even though we're not living back then, but we're definitely impacted in our behaviors, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and our actions, especially women. And it's not even, and I'll even say men too, because we are reincarnated as men and women. And so you, a male now, could have been a female back in those days, or way, way back in the day, and are still carrying those belief systems. And so we have those belief systems from our soul lineage, and then we have the belief systems from our ancestors. And our ancestors right now are going, let's clean up this mess.
Yeah.
And it's massive. It's a massive
mess. It is a mess. I mean, I would have been considered, you know, African-American, I mean, because of the one drop rule. And so what was crazy in Louisiana, though, is for 100 years or more before the purchase of Louisiana, people of mixed race were successful. I mean, they were plantation owners too. In my lineage, I had that. They were politicians. They owned land. They were landowners. And then when Louisiana was purchased, America was like, we don't understand a three-class system. We don't have that. So we only have black or white. There's no in between.
Right.
And at the time, the majority of the population was of mixed race. And so all of the people who are of mixed race were now considered African American. And they lost all of their rights. So anything that they built for over 100 years. And honestly, they were trying to whitewash. I mean, I am a product of whitewashing, you know, so it is true. I mean, white privilege is a thing. You know, this is what, I am proof of that. They did this so that they could have more opportunities. And as sad as it's true, I mean, this is it. My skin color is proof of that. They did this on purpose. And when I think about someone who is in my tree, I have Marie Laveau in my tree. And I did a lot of study on her. She's the great voodoo queen of New Orleans that came from I know, isn't that crazy? I have her in my tree twice. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know. But you know what? I grew up thinking she was a boogeyman. Like she was a witch. She was scary. You know, there's this place, the House of Voodoo in New Orleans. It's like very dark around that area. I was always warned, don't go in there. And when I did ancestry work on her and I read old books on her, I learned, so she was born, I think, in 1801 and died in 1888, I believe. She was of mixed race. She was of mixed race. She had a white father, and he would have been one of my grandfathers. And she also, who she had children with, would have been like an uncle of mine, you know, on my tree.
Okay.
So not directly, but actually her father would have been one of my grandfathers. But her grandmother had bought herself out of freedom under Spanish rule. So Spanish and France went back and forth owning that land. And under Spanish rule, you could buy yourself out of slavery. And so her grandmother had. So she wasn't born a slave. She was born free. But what I found was interesting was that people feared her. So not only was she of mixed race, she also was a woman. And in the 1800s, to be feared, I'm like, how powerful is that? Right?
Yeah.
And what they feared her for, I actually read this, that she would sit with prisoners and pray with them. She would go to the jails.
So they were fearful of that.
Yeah. She sat with people who were dying because they had yellow fever back then. Mm-hmm. And like COVID, the adults were dying, but children weren't. But she would sit with the sick and she wouldn't get sick. So they thought for sure something is wrong with her.
Something's wrong with her if she's not getting sick.
And she had shamanic practices, you know, that were passed down from then it was called Saint-Domingue, but now it's Haiti. So, you know, those roots of tradition of healing, you know, using medicine, plant medicine, herbs and all that stuff was passed down to her. And yes, she did that. And she also was a hairdresser and she went to church every day. And in her obituary, which you can find many obituaries, some of them are horrible, but the main one in the Louisiana newspaper, it was pages, Amy, pages. And it was called The Sainted Woman.
The Sainted Woman. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gathered that power from that story, you know?
Yeah. Well, it kind of brings down the fear of what was told or what perceptions you or your family had around what those practices look like. And then when you start digging deeper into what she was actually doing, did it look evil? Did it look weird? I mean, you don't know because you're just reading what you're reading. But at the end of the day, she sounds like an amazing human being.
Yeah. But I mean, for how long have women been, you know, burned at the stake, you know, mentally and physically, you know, I mean, you know, hundreds and hundreds of women, you know, actually were killed, you know, I mean, I did someone's tree who was a Salem witch. And in researching the Salem witch, I was reading the papers, you know, the, like the minutes that someone wrote on the court case. And she was the last one to be killed as the Salem witches. Her name was Anne Pudiator. And she, in the paper, she made soap. She made soap. That was literally in there. She was a widow twice. So that she had land. So that was another interesting thing. And she had moles.
Wanted to take the land.
Yeah, exactly. But she had moles. So, I mean, just the most ridiculous stuff in the world.
Moles. So if you have a mole, you're a witch.
They shaved her body. They shaved her pubic hair, everything. Looking for moles. I mean, I'd be in trouble. Yeah, well, not just that. I would have been burned a long time ago. You and me both.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I think that one, it's really important to understand history. And even if you don't know your family tree, your ancestors are still coming in to support you. And I think that that's really important because I know that some people did not have a traditional household growing up where, I know I didn't. Like, I didn't grow up with my biological dad. I know very, 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 very little, like a tiny, tiny little percentage of my biological dad's side. And I know a lot about my stepfamily side. And so it's like, and then there's people that were adopted or were separated or they had many guardians. And so, you know, the thing about working with your ancestors, it doesn't have to be about knowing the exact family tree. But if you are interested in knowing your tree, I think it's really fascinating. So here's what you did for me. You started digging through my family tree. And I think it was like the 10th generation. You found this article that 10th generation, it was my grandfather, and they had a 500-acre tobacco farm. And I was telling my friend this. I was like, this is so cool. Like, Sharon found this, like, that my ancestors had tobacco farm. And she goes, Amy, don't you remember the ancestors gifted you tobacco leaves in one of our healings? And I forgot that because, you know, you receive things in healings. And we were working with the ancestors. And after the call, her and I got on the call together. And I was like, what'd you get? And she tells me. And then I told her what I got, which was tobacco leaves. And I love that. I shared that with her because I would have never remembered that because sometimes you receive them and you forget. But yeah, so my ancestors, because I remember this, like I went into this healing and there was this older woman that showed up and she handed me tobacco leaves and she was tilling the farm and tilling the farm and tilling the farm. And so it was really neat that you literally uncovered that they were tobacco farmers for me, which I'm like, you can't make this stuff up.
Right. I did the same with the past life regression. Yeah. I mean, in my past, I had the past life regression right before or around the same time. And I was on a plantation and there was a whole, you know, story and it was amazing. And as I was reading my ancestry, I'm like thinking about, you know, I'm imagining this, but I'm going right back to the memories of that past life regression. I'm like, holy crap. So yeah, there's got to be some sort of, you know, I always think that, I don't know about you, that, you know, maybe we're here sometimes, you know, to heal a lineage, and maybe you have to have the experiences of your ancestors, you know, to come into the place where we are now to do the healing. Because my mom's one of seven. We're the only ones that moved to Colorado. I feel like sometimes I'm the only one that could have done this work.
Right.
Because I was open to it.
I think moving away from home is also important sometimes.
Yeah.
Because what happens, and I moved away from home. I'm the only sibling that moved away from home. And when you move away from home, you remove yourself from the family dynamic, mm-hmm. and you get to see the family dynamic from a different perspective.
So true.
And I believe that, and this might not be everybody's belief, but I believe everybody should move away from home once, even if you move back.
Yeah.
Because it creates, like, you have a different relationship with yourself and your different relationship with your family when that happens. Would I love to live near my family? Absolutely. But I am grateful that I moved away because there's been so many blessings that has happened from moving away. And having a different perspective, and then just moving back to like the whole past life regression and like documenting things, time is not like a linear time is a construct that we've made for our human experience. There are so many things happening simultaneously in parallel universes and on different timelines. And, you know, we're living out all these different experiences, and the ancestors, because this is the embodied experience that we have with the human body, the ancestors right now are wanting to come in and go, hey, like, I had this belief system that you're still holding on to. And what happens is if you break it, you go, I'm going to break that belief system and I'm going to help you. The ancestors literally wants to help break that thing. Is you change the whole lineage moving forward.
Yeah.
And it's breaking generational, and I don't like using this word, but I'm being guided to use it, is breaking generational curses.
And it is
fascinating to witness, to watch, and to experience.
It is. It's a timeless healing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what else was interesting? That in my past life regression, there was someone I recognized, not anyone super close to me, but someone who I know, like a strong acquaintance, though. We have a strong connection. And that person ended up being on my DNA. Like, we match DNA, and we were both from the same lineage who was a plantation owner.
Fascinating.
So it was almost like through my DNA, through my ancestry, I was able to prove that the person who I have a weird connection with in this life was in my past life. It's crazy. I mean, it's just bananas. Yeah.
I love it.
And guess what? My dad died in this life on the same day as his mom died.
In
real life. Not like in past life for real. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, and it's not always that it happens, but I feel like sometimes ancestors or family members die either around the same time. Mm-hmm. Because like my stepdad passed away and then my step-grandma passed away all around similar timeline too.
Oh.
Not the same day.
So like that's their
The
contract.
same
Let's leave
season.
around the same time.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
they were years apart, but like
Right.
their death anniversary is around the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't
If
die
I'm
in the same
remembering
year
it correctly,
either. They
because the way that
died
I'm
just on the
listening.
same day. Same as you. Yeah. So
Yeah.
yeah, I think that's interesting. And you know, it's through those synchronicities that I started to lean into synchronicity more. You
Yeah.
know, I was like, wow, maybe there's something to that. So I'm going to follow that. And I do that when I work on anyone's tree. I always feel like there's these ancestors that want to come through that want to tell their story. And that happened with yours. It happens with a lot of them. And usually it's grandma's. And I would say overall, even in like sessions that I do one-on-one with people, whether it's Reiki or whatever kind of energy work, there's so much energy of the divine feminine coming forth. And it's like I've never had more grandmas, little grannies coming through than ever. Like in the past like 2 years, it's been just
Well, that's what I've noticed is in the last 2 years, this is where the ancestors, because when I teach the Akashic Records, the masters, teachers, and loved ones come through. Well, all of a sudden, I have all these students where you'd have like a few loved ones come through, but it was like student after student after student after student that was like ancestor, 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 ancestors coming through. And I'm like, oh, the records are changing. The veil is changing. The portal has opened wide because I notice patterns with things because the records are not, they're not fixed. They're evolving like we are evolving. And so I'll notice patterns as I'm teaching and I'm like, this is coming in. And the thing about it is this isn't going away either. The ancestors, like when I just was speaking at this expo, like I like opened the records and I said, who wants to come in? And there was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of ancestors that wanted to come in. And
That's so
I
funny.
was like, and this is just the starting point. Like this is like, I don't even feel like the floodgates have fully opened yet, with it. And I think that it's really important to get back to roots, even if it's only through guided meditations, healings, activations, things like that, because it does not matter if you know the paper history,
Yeah. You know,
but if you
and
can
let
get
me
it,
just
that's
say
perfect.
something. So something about that I had read one time that say the indigenous came across a child that was not of theirs, of their tribe, but this child had no family. So they would adopt him in and they would pray to their ancestors and they would say, please accept this child
Yeah.
as your own. And so it just he was one of theirs.
Yeah.
And their ancestors became spiritually their, you know, ancestors and
Yeah,
their,
I totally get that.
And I believe that too. I absolutely believe that. You know, sometimes people are even closer with, you know, somebody else's mom than they are even their own. And they just, you know, they have the spiritual DNA, right?
Yeah,
Almost.
absolutely. Because you have the soul families. And like for me, like my stepdad was my dad from one and a half, two and on. And like my step grandma like taught me all sorts of different things. And I'm definitely closer to that lineage than my biological. Like I don't know anything. Well, I know some because you shared it with me. And it was
Yeah.
fascinating to see you on my biological side. I think you found a picture, not I think you
Yes.
did. You found a
Lots
picture
of
of
pictures.
an aunt of mine on my dad's side. And it's funny because we have the same exact pinky. And my daughter, when I got an ultrasound, I was like, she has the same exact pinky of mine. So it's like it's very distinct on
Yeah.
how it looks. So,
Amazing.
and it comes from her. Like it comes from
That's,
that side.
yeah. It's so interesting to look at some of these ancestors. My daughter, she just did her DNA. I mean, you know, we already know, but she wanted to do her actual DNA. And it was so interesting too, by the way. I mean, what I got from my mother, she got zero. You know, so it's very interesting. Yeah, so strange how it is. I think my mom had like 30% French. I got 15. Lindsay got none. I mean, like, what? So weird. So it just cuts off there.
They decide. So like from my understanding, from a spiritual perspective, because like I would talk to my daughter and I'd be like, pick the DNA you want. Like I would tell her like when I was pregnant, pick the DNA you want. Leave behind this. Like pick the things that you really want and you want to be connected to. And so I feel like when we're in spirit and when we're in utero, in our mother's belly, like we're going through as a soul and we're going through the DNA to figure out what experiences we want to have and what we want to heal and how we want to be the change maker. And it's like from a spiritual perspective, that's what I believe happens.
I love that so much. I've never heard that before, Amy, and I love that. I really do because, you know, in looking at so many people's DNAs and stuff and just looking at mine and saying, I feel like I look a lot like my mom's family, but I feel like I have a lot of strong traits from my dad, you know, and it's like when you do your ancestry, everybody's got darkness in there. I mean, these people went through a lot, you know, it's crazy that we're even here.
Yeah. Nobody was.
No, not at all. And just think about cowboys. I mean, they just go around with guns and just shooting people like it was nothing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. And, you know, there was so much disease too.
Yes.
And, you know, they didn't, and there was also, I found a lot of injustices, just in general, that were normal, right? That we see today as horrific. But, you know, I had many 12-year-old grandmothers, you know, that were married off.
And that was very normal back then.
Right. I mean, my daughter's about to be 12. I mean, it's very sick to think.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually read horrific stories about, you know, one girl, you know, in particular, who was betrothed to some old man that she ended up killing. Yeah. And they put her and her mother and her father on what was called a wheel. And like, it was like some torture device. I mean, it was so crazy, but I'm reading this out of a newspaper. So you can, you know, find so much about your ancestors because they really kept really good documents. I mean, just think back then, if Sally went to visit Betty, it was in the newspaper else to talk about, you know, in their little town.
Now it's like our ancestry is going to be documented through social media.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's kind of scary to think about and weird to think about all at the same time, but you know, like
TMI.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
I mean, what do they call it? How many selfies did your grandma have back then? You know, that's what they'll be talking about.
And then, you know, it was a different world that people paint now, like on social media, and it's not the same, but we do still do the tarring and the feathering where it's like, that's the cancel culture. And that's why you gotta be really careful on what you're consuming and what you're looking at, because not everything you read is accurate. Not everything you read is how you perceive it. And most importantly, it's, you got to do you and do what's right for your family. And that's why I don't share, you know, I shared a few photos of my daughter on social media, but now it's like, I don't want her photos on social media because everything is documented now from the moment she's born. Like, and you know, we don't know where technology is going. And so there has to be some sort of privacy with certain things. And I don't mind if other people share their stuff. It's just like, I don't know what that looks like. And so I have to think about that right now.
And it's also, I think, you know, a lot of times people will only put their pictures up of their children when they have these accomplishments, made the honor roll or hit the home run or this. And then when they don't, it's like, well, where's my picture up there now? You know what I mean? So there's also this, I don't know, like parading, you know, and It's just dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. I mean, I think people should really consider that. But, you know, because I'm in Colorado, I mean, seeing my cousins and being able to watch their kids grow up, that kind of stuff has been such a blessing when it comes
to, so beautiful.
Like, you know, social media.
It really is. It's double-sided no matter what. There's two sides to the coin no matter what. And I think what's most important is you honor what you feel is right for your family. And it doesn't matter what I think or what anybody else thinks. It matters what you think and what you feel comfortable with. Also think that if you are a really, you're in the public or you're in politics or something like that, you have to protect yourself. Or if you're a public figure, you have to protect yourself to some degree because just don't know. And so there's always a flip side to everything when it comes to that. Let's talk about, I know that you offer, you teach people how to like do their own family trees. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So over the years, like I said, it took so long to do my own tree because it was hard. It was like my family was in the witness protection program. And so not only did I actually do the tree, but I sought other modalities and stuff to connect with my ancestors. So I went and I learned how to journey by taking some shaman classes, learned how to drum journey because I had a line that went to a shaman. And so in order to connect with him, I wanted to connect with him how he connected, you know, with spirit. So that was really neat. And he actually became a huge part of my journey back then, especially. I feel like I know these people.
Yeah.
So funny. I even have like nicknames for a lot of my ancestors. I got to know them so well. But, you know, there were other things that I did too. I would do a lot of dream journeying or setting my intentions at night. I would do a lot of ancestral meditations. So all of the things that I did that I found successful over time when people would say, hey, can you help me do my tree? And this just started with like a few friends, family. And I'd say, yeah. And then I'm like, you should try this too, because this works for me. So it just turned into its own workshop. I meet with my clients and I show them their tree. If they don't know who their, you know, who their ancestors are, because they are adopted. I mean, they can do the DNA. You don't have to do the DNA either. I mean, I can still find, you know, your tree. I can still put it together. But, you know, even if you don't want to do your DNA and you still want to connect with your ancestors, you, like you said, you don't have to build the tree itself, but it is a lot of fun to see the lineage and see where you came from. Yeah, it is a lot of fun. So I go through, basically, it's called CLEAR. And so each letter kind of stands for something. And the goal is really just for you to release all that doesn't serve you. Mm-hmm. So it's real fun to find out all the things, but in the end, it's like taking from all of the good stuff and releasing all that doesn't serve you. Kind of like what you said, you know, spiritually, picking out the ancestral traits from your DNA that will serve this life and leaving behind and breaking the cycles and the patterns of the things that you find, you know, maybe holding you back. So, and like you said, it's a timeless healing. You're healing the past, your present, and future lineages. So for me, it literally made space within my body and also the subtle body, right? All the energy that was cleared out, then there was space to receive spiritually. And so I feel like my whole journey kind of bumped up once I was able to do that. So I made this workshop. I'll offer 50% off to your listeners. CLEAR2024 as a code.
Okay, cool. And so basically the workshop is teaching them how to build their family tree.
Yes. And no, not just build their tree though. There's all of the tools that I used. Cool. So it's going through all the different things, like, and also suggesting stuff, like learn about the traditions. And maybe eat from that culture. You know, there is something to that. Our bodies are made, you know, from this DNA that comes from these lands. Maybe you shouldn't be eating from these other. And maybe that's why you know, that food's not working out with you because it's on the other side of the world. Maybe, you know, even considering that. So there's so much to it, actually.
Awesome. Well, if you guys are interested, Shannon's giving 50% off. I'll put it in the show notes and in the YouTube description as well. So take advantage of that. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we hop off?
No, other than there with the Clear Workshop, you also get my mini series that I did on my ancestry. So you kind of go through my journey and see how I discovered what I discovered, history that's never been told, but also how I healed through it. And and if you don't want to do the workshop, but you still want to hear the mini series, you can go to Patreon, Sense of Souls Patreon. And I also have a mini series on the Gnostic Sophia. So those are the other things. And also check out Sense of Soul podcast.
Yeah. Definitely check out our podcast. So
yeah.
Awesome, my dear. It was so nice to have you on, and I can't wait to just catch up with you again. All right, my friends, I hope you enjoyed today's Soul Chat interview with Shannon. She's an amazing, amazing soul. I love her dearly. And if you are interested in taking advantage of her special offer for our listeners, definitely check out the show notes or the description underneath the YouTube video. I look forward to seeing you in the next one. Please make sure you like and subscribe. See you later. Bye.